my good friend Gail Murphy going to become more conservative in nature?
Well, I have till about 82 because that's when I'll be peaking.
All right, good girl, good. I'm gonna track your ass down at that point and drag you on the radio, by the way, and say, oh, okay, Gail Murphy, and you can get on there and give me hell. How's that?
Well, I could give you hell right now.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
So you ever think about the ages where you peak at those special moments of life? I certainly do. You know, the times where maybe like, okay, am I the right age to do exactly this? I remember somebody was telling me recently that, you know, oh, you ought to play professional ball, knowing that I wanted to be a ball player when I was like in my early 20s, you know. I said, and this was a few years ago, and I said, what? A ball player? I said, I'm 40 years old. I can't play ball now, professional ball. What are you talking about? Oh, you can do anything. Well, there are some things that you simply can't do at that point of life because maybe you've passed the peak of that. There's a whole lot of this and a very, very interesting conversation we're going to have with you today on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Malcolm Out Loud here, and we have a great, great panel discussion here. Our co-host from Los Angeles, Gail Murphy, joins us, and also from Florence, Italy, Sally Fernandez is back with us, and we are going to have a real learning experience here about what we should be doing at what point in age of our lives. I like to always say we can do anything we put our minds to, but there are some kind of, sort of, at times, restrictions within that, like when we're 20 years old versus 70 years old. I mean, there are just some things that our body does limit us, or there are sometimes their geographical concerns or other things in life. But, you know, where do we peak? What is the peak age that we should be doing some of these things? And this is really a very, like, cool, fascinating list. So, ladies, one of the most interesting things, like, all right, so I took 2 years of French, 2 years of Spanish. Can't speak a damn word of either right now. Although I can do the bonjour, monsieur, comment allez-vous, très bien, merci à vous. And people say, oh, he can talk. Yeah, well, I can talk a couple of phrases, you know. Buenos dias, ¿cómo está? Muy bien, gracias, yo tú. They say, oh, he can talk. Yeah, well, takes a couple of years just to learn the one phrase, right? If you don't use this stuff every day, you can just about forget about it. But what I find fascinating here about this piece, this column from Chris Weller and Sky Gould, Business Insider, let's give them the credit for that. Learning a second language is easiest, guess what, when you're about, it's pretty wild, 7 or 8 years old. I guess I really didn't know that. But maybe that makes sense. They're saying, they're kind of referencing here before puberty. Is that a surprise to any of you? I mean, did you see that one coming? That you would do that at 7, 8 years old? That's the peak, they're saying, to learning a second language.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree. I remember being it when I was probably in third or fourth grade. We got a new student who was from the Dominican Republic who did not speak one word of English. And within 6 months, you just couldn't shut her up. You don't think about it when you yourself are 7 or 8 or why this phenomenon is happening. But looking back, yes, absolutely. And also, if you live in a city that is bilingual, which Los Angeles is, you meet people that are over 50 who have been living here for 50 years and still don't speak a word of English because it's just too hard at some point.
Well, I envy the young students, and a lot of the international students I find are just like phenomenal at being able to speak. I mean, some of them can speak like 5, 6, 7, 8 languages. And hell, some of us just have trouble mastering one language, Sally. I mean, I'm happy to just do English well, no? And people well, don't I... even do think I do that well sometimes, Sally. Go ahead, as you were.
Your English is perfect. I think part of it has to do with a young age, and it also is like for computer skills and things, that their mind is kind of uncluttered. And in a language, for me, I mean, I learned Italian when in my 40s, and my Italian is horrible. But when I go out and have a couple glasses of wine and I'm with my Italian friends, it's amazing how I even impress myself. But I think it's because you kind of lose your inhibitions and you're not afraid to make mistakes. And I think kids, it's easier for them to just to learn something new because their mind is uncluttered. They don't have a lot going on and they can absorb things a lot easier. And then there are people who just have an amazing facility for languages, which I'm
not. Sally, it brings up a good point, but having the confidence in yourself is part of that battle. And you just said it, I think. When you're younger like that, you're fearless, absolutely fearless. So that's why kids are so honest. That's why when you see kids sometimes and they say the darnedest. In fact, a lot of people, even at my age, think I'm still a kid for the same damn reason. Because I tell you the truth. And I do the same as kids do. I never kind of got through past that rule. Like a lot of people, they get too stuck up and, you know, whatever. You know, we were doing a show just the other day here with Dean Menzel out of Melbourne, Australia, ladies. And she is, as you know, a music and voice phenomenon. And as a coach and everything music is what Dean does in her life. And so I had her sing. I don't know. You probably haven't heard the show yet, but it's going to be coming out here. But she, I had her singing on there. And I noticed the first time, and she's got a good voice, actually. And she's singing, and she, you know, didn't have as much as the confidence that I would. And I said, come on, Dean, let's go. Sing Let the Silent Voices Be Heard, America Out Loud. Sing a version of that. And then sing. And she, then I got her, I think I got her riled up, and then she blasted away and did a great job, by the way.
Fantastic. But it is, it's, you know, it's, you know, we may not even know we have these inhibitions, but, you know, I got to tell you, after some wine, my Italian is a perfetto.
It's perfect. Wine brings out the best in all of us, I think. But so, all right. So you peek at that when you're younger. One of the, believe it or not, ladies, one of the lessons I peeked at, it's funny, you know, I told you I took a couple of years of French, a couple of years of Spanish, you know. I really envy. You know the one I wanted to learn, Sally, is what you just talked about, Italian. I love opera, operatic singing, I love Italian. You know, it's such a beautiful language. And I wanted to learn that. Now, you know some Italian. You think you could teach that to me easy enough, or am I over the hill and past the road here? Put me out to pasture, what?
No. Malcolm e ragazzo. Molto, molto giovani. È possibile to parlare Italiano. I said, you're very young, and you can learn Italian.
All right. What do you think, Gail?
Well, I say give it a shot, you know. You know, as we're talking about this, I remember seeing language schools. And what was interesting was it wasn't so much as learning the language itself, is that the claim was that the thing that made them most unique was the way in which they taught the ability to speak a second language to people over 30, 40, and 50. And some of them were based on how the brain works and how the brain takes in information and including your subconscious mind in it and not using a repetitive technique. And I find that there must be 20 different ways in which, you know, businesses are peddling the idea of having people learn languages. I mean, you could learn a language by taking a adult education. You can take it online. And then for each one, they address a different part of the brain. And I find that really fascinating, but I also find it kind of frustrating because I don't know which one works the best.
Well, how could you really? But you bring up an interesting point about our brains, Gail, and there are certain areas of our brain excel at certain things, right? I mean, there's a cognitive part of our brain. There's different areas that excel at this. But I always speak about on this show, our mindset, our brains is, that's the best thing we have going for us. I mean, it's the biggest, it's the, I mean, I call it the muscle. If you keep using your brain, the fact, you know, as you get older in life, you know, I got to comment, Gail, I got to tell you, Sally's other half, Joe, I mean, what an incredible man he is. And, you know, Sally, I'm a real advocate about talking against dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that, because I think we can do more and I think we need to do more for people. But he's like incredible, because I often say if you keep your mind active and going and doing all the things you need to do in life, you can excel. Joe is like, how old is he now, Sally?
He just turned 89.
Yeah, I knew it was about there. So it's 89. Yeah. And I mean, it's incredible mind. I mean, just absolutely incredible. How does he do it, Sally?
He has always, you know, he does a crossword puzzle every day. He reads. He's my editor, so we're always having intellectual discussions. And he just constantly is, it's like a sponge. He just keeps absorbing and absorbing. But, you know, he takes care of his mind. He takes care of his body. And you're right. He's quite amazing.
Isn't that a big part of it, though, Sally, that we continue, if you keep pushing? I mean, you've seen that firsthand then with your own husband. Yeah. But if you keep pushing yourself, and if people, like, I get a lot of people who say they want to retire. And retire meaning they really want to do nothing. And I think that has, like, got to be the dumbest thing, to live a life up to, like, whatever, 68, 65, 68, mm-hmm. 72, whatever, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden mm-hmm. do nothing. It's like a sentence to death, isn't it?
Well, it is. And see, you know, we're talking about this article about where people peak at certain ages. And, you know, we can go down the list, and I think we should, because some of them are quite fascinating. But I'm not sure I buy into the concept, because I think our brains are all wired differently. I don't think God gave everybody the same brains. I think certain people have facilities where other people don't. And we can do things about it to change. So, you know, they talk about, where is it here? They have the ability to do a marathon, the strength you have, your bone mass, and certain age groups. But, you know, that all depends on how you live your life. If you work out and you get lots of calcium and you're very athletic, you could go for many, many years. So I think it's, you know, we can look at, and this might be to some point a starting point in saying, you know, this is what might happen and where we peak and where we don't peak. But I just consider us all so different, our DNA, our genetics, our environment, our socialization. And Malcolm, you're the one that lives outside the box. And so when you start looking at things that you're going to peak at a certain point, then it kind of makes me feel like I have to live by these kind of rules.
Well, Sally, people get upset with me. People get upset with me when I tell them they can do anything they want to do. Some people don't like that theory.
But and I think it's a great theory.
Yeah, but not everybody subscribes to it, but I think it is as well. I believe it, like, I've done some things that I have no business doing in my life, Sally, and I've done them and pulled them off and excelled at them, and people will look and say, well, how did you do that? Or what are you doing? Or, like, really insanely. And it's not like, because sometimes you do what you got to do. You know, I always say I say it in my other accent from the Northeast, you do what you got to do, you know? And when you do it that way, I mean, there are no limitations. I think only limitation, Sally, is when you limit yourself, yeah?
Well, this reminds me of Gail Sheehy's passages that she wrote almost 40 years ago, and she keeps updating it. And at the time, I just thought, I never bought into it. And, you know, it was about talking about what you'll be like in your 20s and what you need to do in your 30s and be prepared for your 40s and so forth. And I just figured, this is crazy. I mean, because in my 20s then, the millennials aren't doing the same thing in their 20s now. And our career paths are set differently. Our life paths are set differently. So the whole concept is to kind of map out your life. And I don't know why you would ever want to do that. You know, frankly, life is to be lived. Not
in the moment. In the moment. And it's another big lesson I've learned, and I keep preaching all the time. Live in today's moment, right this minute. Don't live yesterday, and certainly don't live too far in the future. Live now. And when you do that, you begin to have more gratitude and you appreciate things mm-hmm. in life. You just mentioned marathon, which was on this list, by the way. Mm-hmm. The average elite marathoner is 28, they're saying. And this is a 50-year analysis of marathons, they're saying. But now, below that, I want to emphasize bone mass. This is interesting to me. Bone mass peaks at age 30. So our now this I understand. What I'm saying, Shelley, Gail, there are logistics involved here. There are some things that just are. So yes, a strong mind, Shelley, the timeless idea of you can do anything, you don't put limitations, you live outside the box, all of those things qualify, but let's face it, your bones are at their strongest and densest when you're 30 years old. I think that's a fairly true statement. When you're 75, they're not going to be the bones of the same that you were at 30. So you give us that much, right, Shelley?
Not necessarily.
Wow.
Thank you.
I mean, I had a bone density test, and I had one when I was 50. I had one when I was 60, and my bones are perfect. There is no sign of any kind of weakening or whatever. I've been taking calcium, vitamin D with magnesium for the last 30 years. And another example, I'll go back to my incredible husband. He had a heart scan when he was 70. And they did the whole thing looking for plaque buildup in your heart. He's 70 years old. They couldn't find any. They said his heart was like a 30-year-old. So...
I think
genetics has to do a lot with this, too.
This goes back to what you said about 10 minutes ago regarding it's really nice to have these kinds of lists, but every body, not every person, every single body is different. So what my body will tolerate or like or be receptive to is not what somebody else's is. And so part of our mission here on this planet is to determine what makes our machine work to its most optimum. What we have to take the time to look at how we react to certain foods. And then there are killers within the food system like sugar and tobacco and alcohol and that are just natural born killers. Some people can smoke until they're 95. Others, are on a downward spiral by 25. So that's a big consideration. I mean, it's nice to read what scientists are doing, but scientists work in massive groups and pools of people. They don't talk about the variances that exist within that group.
No, because so, these are averages. It's a very valid point, Gail. Averages. I mean, the scientists, no, they never focus on outside of those boundaries. There are always exceptions to the rule, in other words. So how would they and why would they? These are averages. So when Shelley says as well, I don't necessarily subscribe to some of these, I hear her and I give her part of that. But I think looking at this list and keeping the conversation honorable, these are averages that they look and they do a mass of people and they study that to say, okay, this is what we think, that this from all people, this is the norm.
This is what the analytics tells us.
Then you break the norm after that, yeah. We know all of you listening out there are far above average. We know that. We know the people on this show are far above average. So we're all in good company, and we're going to continue that company in just a moment. We'll pause here and be back with Shelley Fernandez and Gail Murphy and see what happens as we peak just ahead here. Stay right there. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutLoud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This is Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure with Gail Murphy and Malcolm Out Loud. I am Shelley Fernandez, and we were talking about ages that you peak at everything. And we're going through a list, and it's kind of diverse, but there's two I will absolutely agree with. One is that women are most attractive to men at about 23. Now, the fact that I met my husband, who was also slightly older, at 23, I'll buy that one. The second one was peak age to settle down is 26, and that couples that marry between the ages of 28 and 32 are more successful and less divorces. Well, I married Joe at 32. So there's two statistics I'll buy.
All right. What do you think, Gail? So, it sounded like a plane taking over is what that sounded like, but... All right. Well,
But, you know, I'm being slightly facetious, but it is true. I did meet him at 23, and I married him at 32. But, Malcolm, we did a show a while back on millennials, and it talked about how a new millennial lifestyle. So, by the way that they're gearing up their life, where they're waiting later, they'll be marrying later, or maybe not marrying at all, where a lot of couples aren't marrying, there's just a shift, a societal shift in terms of how we are living our lives today, and we're also living longer and we're living healthier.
There are at times things that, like I said, all right, perfect example. You can't just decide to be in the Major League baseball at 50 years old, Sally. It doesn't happen. So there, you can't tell me there aren't limitations to the peaks of our lifestyle, because there are. You see?
I absolutely agree with you. The problem I have is I don't want to guide my life by that. Right. You know, if I get to the point where I want to do something and I find out my body can't do it, or I want to, you know, be the Secretary of State, but I don't have the credentials.
You don't have the foreign skills or foreign policy skills.
Exactly.
That'd be a problem, wouldn't it?
Exactly. So I agree that it's to know your limitations. But we don't know what our limitations are until we get to that point. And if you read self-help books and Gail Sheehy's passages, it almost kind of lays a roadmap for you. And I guess that's where I'm having the problem, is that if I decide to do something and I can't do it and I'm limited because of my health, my age,
right,
my abilities,
right,
my cognitive reasoning, I understand that, but I don't want to kind of have a roadmap.
Yeah, even your health, that's a great example too, by the way. There are sometimes your health will limit you to be able to achieve other things. Now, we understand that. I mean, that's just pure, that's just pure fact. It's not going to change by just, it's good to have a positive mind and positive thinking, but you have to be understanding that you've got to accept, some factors around you, that's all. I think as far as living your life, no, I think you live totally outside the lines, outside the box. You know, thankfully, I was one of those kids who colored outside the lines. Now, sometimes that didn't make for the most attractive drawing at the end of the day, ladies, but it certainly did garner a lot of conversation. And so I always colored outside the lines as a young boy and continue to do that in my life today. It's one of my claims to fame as a Brink thinker and what I try to bring to the dance of life, to encourage people to be everything they can be. One of the most interesting ones on here I find, which is, by the way, a kudos to the men out there. And I keep telling you folks, the men have an advantage over the ladies far more, because I think the men are more compassionate, more loving, more understanding than women. And so I want to point the one here, women are most attractive to men at age 23. But men's attractiveness to women seems to get better with age. See, there you go. And I've been telling you this right along. The men love the women throughout all of it, but yet the women are shallow and they dump the men earlier. See? See, I'm right.
Oh, my God.
You see how I read into that one, Gail Murphy? What do you say about that?
I know. I'm trying to read between the lines.
Okay. Please do.
Setting me up. The women look at more attractive to men as the older they get because they can't cook and they want someone to do their laundry.
Well, I don't know the kind of people you're hanging with, but I'm very capable of doing my laundry, Gail Murphy, and
yeah,
I don't need you to do my laundry.
You're 40, not 70.
I'm not 70, correct. So,
So that's number one. Number two is, I think a lot of women just say, you know what? I don't want to take care of anyone. I just kind of want to hang with my friends and do what I want to do. I'm just going to hang with the girls. And I get that. I totally get that. But I want to get back to another point that we made about about accepting your shortcomings. But the reality really is...
We don't have... Hold on, Gail Murphy. We don't have time on this show to discuss all your shortcomings, so don't even go there, young lady.
Oh, nice, nice. And I thought you said men are nicer to women.
They're not.
It depends.
Yeah, okay. But really what it's about is I don't think we come into this life for a free ride. I think, you know, you have to play with the cards that you're dealt. And what I mean by that is you work with what you have. You look at what you have and you work with what you have. If you have a burning message and there are things you need to get out in the world, you will get them out. And I know this is true because you look at somebody like Stephen Hawking, who has more challenges than anybody listening to this show anywhere on this entire planet. So it's a matter of setting goals, and it's a matter of being clear and concise about what is it I want to get out of this. In other words, if I'm 50 years old and I have arthritis and rheumatism and all kinds of challenges, why would I want to play Major League Baseball at 50? Seriously, what's up?
Well,
what's up with that? Or perhaps if you take that journey, you will find out that your calling looked to you as if you wanted to play Major League Baseball. But really what you wanted to do was take part of your treasure and donate it to inner city kids so that they can play baseball as kids.
Actually, the dream would have been to play baseball so you have all of the women at your feet,
feet Malcolm,
in life. That's what the idea of playing. Every good baseball player knows that, Gail. You get the pick of all the women. I mean, come on, get with it.
Oh, jeez.
Malcolm, you're leaving out the part where women become most attracted to men about the age of 23. Well, men become attracted to 20-year-olds, and it never, ever changes, which was part of this study.
Now, that part I like. Tell me what's wrong. Is there anything wrong with that, first of all?
Well, if I'm not 20, yes.
I love it. If you're not 20, huh? Well, as I said to you, there are some boundaries here, aren't there now?
Yes, there are.
So, I mean, there's one right there. I said our age can have boundaries. Well,
forget we're bombarded by advertising and messaging to sell products and services consistently, maybe 20,000 in a week, and that's if you're lucky. If you don't have cable, that's if you're lucky. And so it gets into our brains. So we are influenced by so much advertising and so much how it's going to be. I mean, we talked about this when we talked about bullying, Malcolm, and how influenced people are by a gang mentality. Well, that same gang mentality also exists in how bombarded we are with disinformation, for the sake of selling something.
Okay, you know, all that leads into another point that's on here, because another one that they talked about was that understanding other people's emotions peak in our 40s and 50s. So do we become more empathetic as we get older?
We do. That's why the old saying is so true, which I know somebody will gripe about in just a moment after I say this. But the old saying is very, very true in life when they say, when you're young and silly... It's a better word than stupid. So young and silly, you are more liberal-minded. And as you get older and knowledge, you become more conservative in nature. Yes? I know both of you would agree with that, right?
Yes, it's an old saying I've repeated many times.
Right, Gail?
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because it goes back to, you know, you're supposed to be young and feel like you can save the whales. And then you get out in real life and you find out, well, it's not so easy. And you start getting smarter about how you're going to do things, and you change your thinking a little
bit. So what I want to try to find out here is, when is my good friend Gail Murphy going to become more conservative in nature?
Well, I have till about 82, because that's when I'll be peaking.
All right, good girl, good. I'm going to track your ass down at that point and drag you on the radio, by the way. I say, okay, Gail Murphy, tell me now. And you can get on there and give me hell. How's that?
Well, it sounds, I could give you hell right now, you know.
And you always do.
I'm in touch with my inner 82-year-old, and I'm good with that. My psychological well-being can deal with that. you know, but that's when I'll be peaking. That's when I'll be the all that I can be.
Yeah.
And then you call me and I'll give you some hell.
Well, there's no doubt you will. I suspect you'll do that all the way through this lifetime. But, you know, I want to digress a moment to a point that Sally, we talked about a moment ago with this men chasing women and women men and 23 and what have you. And, you know, listen, in full disclosure, there's a point in place and time for everything. So, for instance, you know, there happens to be a time and place. It's funny how if all you are, let me speak directly with both of you, if I might do that, please.
Oh, okay? God, here we go.
So let me give you my out loud truth a moment here. So here it is. There are points here that if one is just looking to get laid in life, then yes, the 23-year-old deal is very attractive. But the problem is there are a lot more hours left in the day. So if all you're looking for is that in life, is the, you know, the orgasm of life and that's it, then you're a fairly shallow thinker. So for instance, Sally, as I have gotten more on in my life, quite frankly, I more prefer women who have knowledge, the expertise, take care of themselves, they're beautiful, but they're more mature. That is much more attractive to me as an individual of the world than a 23-year-old with no brains. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense, and that's the way it should be. So that's why I kind of disagree with what they're talking about.
That's why I had to digress to cover my steps, because I didn't want you all to think I was a pig.
Oh, well, you can't control our thoughts, Malcolm.
Well, I can still try, Gail Murphy.
You can.
I'll let Gail beat you up.
You'll be peaking on that in about 27 years.
On what part now?
You'll just be peaking. I don't even worry about it.
Well, that's good. So, and that's why, Gail, today, I want you to understand something, Miss Murphy.
Yes,
I consider it a very good, and I mean this wholeheartedly here. I consider it a major compliment when somebody says to me, and they call me a juvenile delinquent. I take that to heart. I consider that a fabulous compliment.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
you should. You should.
Well, I always say, you know, you say when you grow up, and I keep saying, why would you want to grow up? But I will say that you are a consummate gentleman.
Thank you, love. Thank you. I always try to do those things that take in the spurt of the moment. So there is something about staying young and keeping your mind young. But you know, Sally Gale, in all disclosure, I don't feel any different in my mind today than I did, seriously, 20, 30, 40 years ago. For instance, I woke up this morning with, let me give you an example, please. I woke up this morning with having this passion to be at the beach. I have this passion to go to the ocean and just walk. I want to walk for some miles. I want to walk several miles, quite a few miles. I just want to walk with the waves coming in. I don't want anything else. I don't want people to know my name. I just want to see the water, the waves, that simple existence. And you know what? I'm going to have it this weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
Good for you. But, you know, age is just a number. You know, Joe and I both say we live our emotional age. We never even really think of age. And when people talk about it, you know, they always say, my God, Joe, you look like you're in your 70s. Of course, they forget to tell me that I look like I'm in my 30s. But
in all fairness, Sally, I had no idea. You look marvelous, young lady. I thought you were. Believe me, I had no clue. You look, I don't know, 10, 15 years younger than you said you were, so I don't even want to get into that program. So you did look a lot younger, Sally Fernandez, so get out of here.
Thank you. But I really think you just live your emotional age. You live the way you feel, because if you start saying, well, I am such age, therefore I can't kind of do the things I used to be able to do, guess what? You're going to get old.
And you're going to find that you can't do those things because you.
And when you find you can't do it, exactly.
You talk yourself out of it. You talk yourself out of it. You're done. You're so right. And I know you both know that.
You talk yourself into it. I think you talk yourself into being old if you start dealing with your age.
Well, and that's why I never did as well. When I was in my 20s as a young man, I had a very successful business. And what used to bother me a lot is people would always, because I was very young and I looked young and I was young, but I was doing big things. People would always ask me how old I was. I mean, every day, folks. Just like today, they ask me what country I'm from. Where the hell are you from? I get that every day of my life. But back then, it was every day of my life. How old are you? How old are you again? It got to such an annoying point, ladies, that I found it very offensive. And so I would then say to people, why? How old are you? Like, mm-hmm. Get the hell out of my face. And so then I stopped thinking of my age. And then years later, people, like, I was just at the doctor's the other day for a checkup on some things, and he said to me now, and he's talking about weight and talking about life, he said, well, you look in this, you're looking that, and, you know, this is your numbers, and this is what you're looking at, and your body mass, and your index, and all this nonsense, you know. And he's talking about, you know, age and stuff, and in our perfect weight for our perfect height and what we should be looking like, how we should feel, how we should be breathing. Now I talk about, okay, breathing. Sally always says to me, breathe, Malcolm, breathe. Well, Doc and I were talking about that on that level of breathing. And of course, when you're doing radio, you have to breathe. I know you know that, Gail Murphy. You have to.
I do. I'm breathing right now.
But you can't breathe on the mic so much. I found that as a young man when I got into radio. When you breathe on that, then you get all those breaths in between, and then you sound like a mass nut job at that point. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so when I was younger, it was all of that, the age thing. And I found it very offensive, so I started to turn it off. Well, you know, ladies, I actually forgot how old I was. And then if somebody, like I had to remember, I would literally have to take the age, the year, rather, I was born. I would have to do the math from today's day and say, oh, I am X. If it was important that you knew, you were telling somebody, you know, some proper document, some legal document or something, you know. I really did. So, Sally, I'm kind of a poster child for that. I never paid attention to age, which is why I never felt different at one age than I did the next age, because it's all just a mindset and it's all stupid.
I absolutely agree with you. That's why I don't like passages and I don't like all these framework. But, you know, the other thing they talked about in terms of men and women feel best about their bodies after 70. I don't know where they came up with that one, but.
Oh, yeah. Now, that I found kind of interesting, actually, where we peak and the way we feel about. Yeah, that is a weird one to me. I don't kind of even buy that. Gail, did you see that one in a Gallup survey? Two-thirds of Americans over 65 said they will always like the way they look. Men's self-perception appears to peak in their early 80s? When 75% agree with the statement, you always feel good about your physical appearance. Women's rates of agreeing with that statement is a little below 70% when they hit about 74 years old. I don't know if they went into some senior nursing home to make this study or what, but I find that utterly ridiculous. We'll talk about that after a pause with Sally Fernandez and Gail Murphy. Be right back with you. We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Hello, and welcome back. You are listening to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I am the star of the show. I'm Gail Murphy. I'm in Los Angeles. The second star of the show is Miss the Fabulous Sally Fernandez, who is in Italia. And then there's our water boy, Malcolm.
Well, that's better than I thought you were going to say, the guy doing mop-up or something. So that's at least encouraging, huh, Sally?
You've been promoted.
I know. I can't believe it there. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You're too much, young lady. You think you own the place just because you're in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah. You do. That's why people love me. It's the most endearing thing. You know, we are talking today about at what age we peak. What are our milestones? One of them, we're talking about the whole issue of aging and age is just a number. And I was thinking, how do we respond when, you know, we are jumping around like Thumbelina and when, in fact, people come up to us and say, so how old are you anyway? What do you say? Typically what I say is, how old do you think I am? And they go, no. How old are you? No, how old do you think I am? And they'll tell me, typically it's a number less than, and I'll say, no, lower. And then or they'll say something that's ridiculously low, and I'll say, no, I'm actually, if they say, like, I don't know, 38, I usually say, oh, my God, I'm 39. And they go, really? Really?
You are bad.
I say to them, you know what? You are really good. You're good. How do you do that?
You got to be pretty dumb, Gail, to play the age game with a woman. I mean, I just don't play that game ever. I'm bad at judging ages. I mean, I don't profess to know that at all. So when people ask me that question, I usually run like hell the other way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Because it means they're trying to dupe me or something or get me into that game there, like how old. But again, if you're asking that question to begin with, it probably means that you have a hang up on age. And I think a lot of people actually do have a hang up on age, which lends itself to this whole story we're talking about, ladies, today, is about what age do we peak? And let's be clear of something right here. One of the rules of the road that I think we all would profess to be is that you peak and you do at whatever age you tell yourself to do that, your mind. I mean, because they have a list in here that's so comprehensive that it gets into, like, even if you were going to win a Nobel Prize, it tells you when that would be, or like when you arithmetic or chess or things like that. Like a Nobel Prize winner, they make their big discovery at 40. Now, that's an average. So you see, Sally, what we talked about earlier, that's a basic study that's an average. Doesn't mean you can't get a Nobel Prize at 70, because you can, you know, or 25 for that matter, I think. It's possible, mm-hmm. You know.
You look at somebody like Grandma Moses. She never picked up a paintbrush till she was 69 years old.
Amen.
There you go, you know. She didn't surround herself with a bunch of people who said, no, you can't do that. You're 69 years old. Why would you do that?
Well, a lot of people made their biggest success after 50, and that is such a true story. And I love those stories, Gail. Like Tina Turner, for instance, she really never got anywhere until she was well after 50.
She had to get rid of Ike first.
She had to get rid of him. But Colonel Sanders, he didn't make it big till he was, I think, around 60.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these people.
And my first novel I wrote when I was 52.
Wow.
There you go. And you know what? Anyone that you talk to that even remotely kills your dream, run. Just get out of there. They are just projecting on you. It's because they can't accomplish anything. You know, we live, and especially now, we live in a time of so many trolls and so many haters that people are so invested in being right. Just say, oh, I'm sorry, I have to make a phone call right now, or, oh my God, I just got this email, I have to answer it. Just get away from that negative energy.
You know, that's a really interesting point you say right here, Gail, that this speaks to me, that people are invested on being right. I think that's the cause of a lot of problems out there, actually, that you hit on that nerve. Mm-hmm. That's well said, actually, because I think that's part of the problem, Sally, is... they are. There's a lot of investment on being right, which creates all this bad karma, bad electricity in the air, low energy.
Oh, yesterday I spent the entire day watching me be beaten up by a Facebook fan And there were comments coming in right and left. And this was just a nasty person. And he was venting. He was so sure he was right about the issue that anybody who supported me, he would then go after them. It was just a bizarre day until I totally shut him down. But, you know, there is so much negative going around, which kind of the other two points on this age where you peak was kind of interesting, that life satisfaction, they say it first peaks at 23, but then it peaks again at 69.
I thought that was fascinating, Sally.
Yeah. And I'm not quite sure I understand how it got to that. When it talked about peaking at 23, it used a study in Germany. And Germany's value systems and what makes them happy are totally opposite of what happens in the U.S. So I'm... It was kind of fascinating.
It's perplexing, sure, but it is an interesting, it kind of gave me some hope, actually, for many people out there that, you know, like it says, there's a dip in their middle age, maybe, in again, average now in some cases, mm-hmm. but life satisfaction peaked again at about 69 years old. I think a lot of people do get, I see a lot of really cool people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. It's a whole different element today, living longer. Mm-hmm. People are, they're just doing more. It's a different program today. And they're living longer and the life is happy. You know, they're more skilled and they're more knowledgeable. And, you know, one of the things I've always said, ladies, is if we could only take the smarts we have when we get older and have them when we were younger, but it's clearly not possible, which is why sometimes I always say, why don't they listen to us? Why doesn't the, because the kids don't listen no more than we listened.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to listen.
We all live in fool's paradise when we're young.
Yeah, because if we listened, we would have no experience. I mean, that's the life experience. We get the experience. The sad part about it is we get totally brilliant. We get, like, totally smart and brilliant. We figure the whole thing out. By the time we figure the thing out, it's over. Kind of sucks.
Well, the basic tenet of this whole article about when you peak is basically that life isn't a downhill slide from your youth. So, you know, we learn things as we go along and life changes.
And you have to be able to
always
go with it. Yeah,
exactly. And so, Malcolm, you always like to end the shows on a high note. And I think it's just, for me, life gets better. I get smarter. I become more empathetic. I feel better about myself. And it just keeps moving along. And I never want to revert back to where I was. Because I just want to keep going forward
and keep making life better. That's really good advice. Never live in the past.
That's also because you've learned those lessons, so you don't need to, you get to sell that real estate or give it away. One of the points that I liked is that with the Niners or the Nine-Enders, people who are 29, 39, 49, or 59, or 69, in that ninth year, they were more likely to make a big life change. And it's not always good. It's not always bad. But just some kind of big life change. And they found that these Niners were overrepresented in groups of people seeking to have an affair, to kill other people or themselves, or running a marathon for the first time. So if you're listening to this and you're a Niner, you got big things going on this year.
So why do you think that is, though, Gail? What's the deal with that? Is that just pure coincidence or is there something to it?
Well, if you look at it numerologically, nine is completion. So it's a jumping off point. If you're not into numbers or the vibration of numbers or numerology in any other way, when you go from 29 to 30, suddenly it's like, oh my God, I'm 30.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do you think by chance it's because, like, if you're at 39 or 49 or 59, that you're more, is it possible at all that maybe you're more adventurous because you're before the next big age block of, you know, let's face it, there's something always interesting about turning the big 40, the big 50, the big 60.
They get hung up on the numbers. It's like, wait, you could be looking terrific. And I say, Malcolm, you look great. And you go, ugh, I'm 5 pounds too over my weight. I don't don't care. I've just told you something wonderful, and you're denying yourself that. But I do want to just say this before we run out of time, something my mother once told me. She said, when you're in your 20s, you're completely and totally obsessed with what people are saying about you. And then when you're in your 30s, you're completely and totally obsessed with not giving a crap about what people think about or say about you. And then when you get into your 40, you realize they were never thinking or saying anything.
Well, which is why you should always just be happy people are talking about you, whatever
they're
saying.
You're not even on anybody's radar. Nobody gives a crap. They're so busy giving a crap about themselves. And that's okay, too, because that frees me up to consume that much more oxygen.
Well, that's a cancer. You know, I'll say this, Gail and Sally, that's a cancer I've been talking about lately. Nobody, I know a lot of people who spend their time worrying about, well, actually, you're a poster child for this, Gail. You actually got this one nailed down pretty well. You always say, what you think about me is none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you're spot on. You have a lot of wisdom for a young lady there, I'll tell you. And it's funny because on other shows, I'll say something you say, like, my friend Gail always says, never paint with a wide brush. And that's something I use quite a bit out there, actually. I'll say, well, aww, my dear friend Gail says, Mal, and I, you're like, come out on my shoulder, this little person, because I, Malcolm, don't you paint with a wide brush. Okay, Gail, I'm off of it.
Yeah, it's too, you know why? Because it's too easy. And we are not here to just put everybody in a box. We are here to open every box that comes in our path so that we can learn. And so why is it so important that we open that box and learn? Because that's how we learn about ourselves.
You always want to keep learning. Always keep learning.
That's
never stop learning.
That's how we learn about ourselves.
The one that I think is screwed up on here, ladies, I mentioned it before briefly, but I think it's, I don't really understand this one. This is totally stupid. Is the men, and I'd like you both to comment if there's any, if you think there's any truth to this. But men and women feel best about their bodies after 70. I have a hard time with that one. Why?
That's because they can't see.
They can't see. Okay.
No, I think a lot. I think you get to a certain age for a lot of people, you know, they justify the beer gut. They justify how they look, and then they just don't care. Because if you care, you have to do something about it.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, Sally, the light bulb goes off now. All right. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that they accept who or what they are.
You know, here's a kind of a little analogy. You know, I get up every morning and, you know, if we're not going out of the house or something, I still pull my hair back. I put some lipstick on. I put some perfume on. I put some jewelry on because I want to always be attractive to my husband. And he does the same thing for me. We want to be the best we can be for each other. But you see these couples and, you know, they get married, they have kids, and all of a sudden it's so easy to say, well, I just don't have time to do that. I don't have time to take care of myself. And they get old and they get overweight and they stop putting the lipstick on. And it doesn't matter because he's my husband. He loves me. He's not going anywhere. And I think people take each other for granted. And I think you should just be the best you can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you just hit it. I think that's the secret to any great relationship, Sally, and you just nailed it down for me, is it's the little things that matter. And in fact, that's one of the reasons I see a lot of relationships never make it, is because they don't take the time, they don't care, they don't get dressed in the way that you just said, they don't put the lipstick on, they don't represent themselves in that way. And I think that's the down part of many relationships, and I mean this, I see a lot of them out there. I envy that sort of a thing in a beautiful relationship where people have the passion and the desire to be and do their very best every day, because that's what it is. Life is meant to be enjoyed in the moment and every day, and you should do that for your significant other, I believe, no matter what. Well, listen here, I'm going to attach the list to the show post so you can catch all the particulars on this when this does go to the post. In the meantime, you'll catch us every day at Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. The cool thing with this on season one with these extraordinary women is that they are doing extraordinary things around the world. And I invite you into our show page at Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure at AmericaOutLoud.com. And check out their websites and all the cool things these women are doing. Many of the topics they're interested in and things that they're involved in are shaping the world that we live in. And we invite you to take a look at all of that. And we talk about many of those things on this show. The cool thing here in season one is we haven't even peaked yet, friends. We're still in the baby stage here. and we're still doing it every day. We thank you for being part of this journey. Catch us every day. The live version, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The encore is at 11. Hear us anywhere in the world. iHeartRadio, Radio Guide FM, TuneIn, all the radio networks. Just type in America Out Loud Talk Radio. Or become part of our family and just get the app. Android or Apple. And we stream 24/7. It's that easy. Just put it on your smartphone or your tablet, and you'll have us with you in your pocket and on you. And we hope you think of us in that way as we think of you. Thanks for being with us today. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. Sally Fernandez, Gail Murphy. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.